The National Park Service celebrates its centennial in 2016. To mark the occasion, National Geographic magazine is devoting the entire May 2016 issue to the country's first national park, Yellowstone. Charlie Hamilton James is one of the photographers whose work will be featured in the issue. He's from the UK, and his niche is aquatic wildlife photography. He photographs animals like cutthroat trout, beavers, and otters. Though that sometimes gets lost in translation.
You know, I can be out on the river, and I'll be chatting to fishermen, and I'll be talking to them about otters, and they just stare blankly at me. No one knows what I'm talking about. So then, in the end, I twig, and I say, otter. And then they say, oh, yeah, otters. Oh, yeah.
James relocated to Jackson for a year to shoot these pictures. He told me that while he was there, he took his family on some classic Western road trips.
To be honest, I felt like Carl Griswold from Lampoon. Yeah, we packed the car up and we went on road trips because, you know, you grow up in England and you watch films about people doing road trips across the states. And when you get here, you've got to go and do it. I drove the kids from Jackson all the way through Utah, Monument Valley, to the Canyon, to Vegas, to L.A., really looking for what it is that represents the American West to me, because that's what I'm interested in photographing. It's that, you know, working out the essence of it. And certainly when you've just arrived from the UK, that's kind of two things. That's your vision of the American West, but also it's kind of the American dream as well. You know, how do I take on the American dream? It's pickup trucks, it's cowboys, it's all these things, and it's McDonald's, it's everything else. And I'm constantly trying to get to the sort of the point of what that is and take photos that represent that.
Some of those photographs are these beautiful landscapes, and then you step back and there's all of these people in it, all of these tourists. What do you take away from that?
I guess I'm sort of playing, basically. I'm presenting the truth about these iconic American landscapes. You know, not the romantic ideal of them, which is these pristine wildernesses. You know, the truth is, if you go to the Grand Canyon, there's thousands and thousands of people. You know, there's three people deep at some points taking selfies. That's what it actually looks like. And you can get to the front of the railing and overlook, and, you know, there's no people in your shot. But you step back a few feet, and, you know, it's a landscape, an incredible landscape full of people. That's what it actually is. And, you know, it's not just a joke. It's actually a sort of, for me, it's a sort of journalistic statement. You know, I'm after the truth of what places are like, and that's what it is.
I think that's one of the sort of central issues of this Yellowstone issue that's coming out, is that national parks, they're a place for people to go and enjoy. They're a place where people want to experience the landscape, and they need those people and those tourists to survive. At the same time, those kinds of tourists, as one person put it, they're putting 10,000 scratches on this ecosystem, and it's degrading it in certain ways. How do we balance the issues of tourism and keeping these parks alive with the potential harm that these visitors are doing?
You know, I think one thing we have to learn in the West is that we can't just do what we want to do, and we shouldn't just be allowed to do whatever we want to do. And, you know, that's a lesson that none of us really want to be told and none of us want to learn. You know, this isn't our land. These aren't our animals. We can think they are, but they're not. And, you know, when you've got a place as ecologically important as the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem, you've got to protect it. And, you know, the population of the human race on Earth is just growing. These problems aren't going to get better. They're not going to level out. They're going to get worse. And we really have to mitigate that. So as far as I'm concerned, we need to start taking steps to limit the damage people are doing on the ecosystems. But in the same token, I'm an Englishman, and I don't want to come to America and start telling people how I think they should do stuff. You know, what's interesting about the American park system and the way you deal with conservation in the US is you have so many people fighting, taking to court, you know, wrangling over stuff, that to me it actually kind of sort of works itself out. You know, your national parks do work, and they work because there's so many people fighting over them. Whereas in other countries like Peru and Africa, a lot of the national parks are just kind of neglected because no one really cares about them. You guys really care about them, for good and for bad.
How do the photographs you take, especially of those otters, the cutthroat trout, all the things that you've been focusing on here in the Yellowstone ecosystem, how do those photos contribute and inform what gets written in the issue?
Well, it's actually interesting, National Geographic. And you know, I get asked this question a lot. So as the photographer, how much time do you spend with the writer, and how do you sort of symbiotically work with each other? Well, you know, actually not very much. When you read the magazine, text is often separate to the pictures, and the pictures survive on their caption details. I think this issue is slightly different because we have looked at specific issues within the ecosystem, and photographers have gone out specifically to shoot those issues, and those issues will be written about. But the actual pictures aren't referenced in the text. All my issues that I was photographing were, wildlife ecosystem pictures. For instance, the cutthroat trout ecosystem. 42 species rely on cutthroat trout for their survival. So my job was to not only just photograph cutthroat trout, but also the animals that rely on them, like bald eagles, like bears, like otters. And basically, I have a pretty tight shot list. You know, I had one of my things on my list was otter eating cutthroat trout. You know, I had to get that shot. It couldn't be a brook trout or a mountain whitefish or a sucker. It had to be a cutthroat trout, because that is one story aligned with another story.
Do you have a favorite photo that you have taken for this particular issue?
I do, and it's a silly photo. It's a Chinese tourist photographing a picture of the Tetons, with the Tetons in the background. He's basically photographing the exact view that he's standing and looking at, and it's just a photo of it. And I just can't understand why he's doing that.
What is it about the Yellowstone ecosystem in particular that makes it a good example and case study for other national parks to observe?
Well, I think the thing about certainly Yellowstone National Park is, first, it's got funding, and they can use that funding to invest in science and biology and land management. And, you know, it can be a test case for other national parks. You know, if they can sort the problem of bison leaving the park out, for instance, okay, how can that be applied to other parks that are experiencing the same problems? So it's a real, a good lab, a big wild lab for working out ways of sorting out contentious environmental issues.
When you were working in that lab, is there anything that surprised you more than you thought it would, maybe in taking your photographs and experiencing that wilderness?
I mean, the whole thing was a surprise to me. I come from a country that, you know, it's just gray and it rains all the time. And I think, it surprised me how much I fell in love with America. And we left Jackson, and none of us wanted to. And we're all coming back soon because we're all deeply in love with it.
Charlie Hamilton James, photographer for National Geographic, is working on the upcoming Yellowstone issue in May of 2016. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.